Cast that shit around. 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 Cast that shit around.
Hey, people, patrons, special folks that subscribe to the
beloved guests,
the Patreon. Welcome to Cast Action Hero, the last Cast Action, Right. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that works.
Sort of a pun based on what the original title was. And the very last Patreon episode of this ilk, the one of the...
Officially, yeah.
Of the different show thing that we did there for a few months, so...
3 months.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it probably near the end of the episode, but yeah. Look forward to the patron content changing here next week, I guess. Mm-hmm. In fact, we already released an episode of how it's going to be this past week.
So you already know.
So you probably already listened to that. And I'm just sounding like a fucking madman right now, just ranting away and
what else
the stairs
is
at me.
Just open up the show, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cast Action here, of course, where we review Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. Last month, we did Hercules in New York,
mm-hmm.
I believe, the very first Schwarzenegger film.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute train wreck. Highly recommend listening to that episode, watching that movie. And this episode, we talk about the movie that made Arnold the superstar that he became, the world-famous guy. He wasn't because of this movie directly, but this propelled everything afterwards.
Right. Made him a household name.
The Terminator. Ladies and gentlemen, 1984's The Terminator.
Yes.
James Cameron also sort of made him a bit of a name as well.
Yeah, I mean, this was his first, not his first movie, but his first, like, big studio kind of.
Yeah, I believe his first movie was Piranha 2.
So, I believe you're right.
So, went from that to Avatar. When I will do an Avatar podcast.
All eight, or whatever, Avatar movies.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about The Terminator, ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen. First of all, I feel like a lot of people our age, I would venture many of them, saw Terminator 2 before The Terminator.
I did.
And yeah. I remember, like, having no clue. You just don't think about stuff like that as a kid. Like, I just thought the movie was called Terminator 2. I didn't think that there was another one.
Yeah.
And then I remember my my really weird aunt and uncle came to visit me once as a kid. And they brought a bunch of tapes that they just recorded stuff from TV, and one of them had The Terminator on it. And I remember watching it, being really didn't really know what to make of that movie because it was not Terminator 2 at all.
No,
it's a very different movie.
It's I always kind of equate it's has like a slasher movie kind of feel to it, but it's also very more it's much more like techno punk kind of than the second
techno
one.
Techno noir is the official
yeah,
genre that yeah. James Cameron coined for this.
It's also the name of the club in this movie.
That's right, yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like Blade Runner kind of has
right.
that kind of feel to it, but it's...
It was, the original idea was to be more of a slasher horror with sci-fi elements,
mm-hmm.
but mostly on the former. But then people started seeing it more action, sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
So it was definitely a different movie, not a normal one. It was very gritty, too.
Yeah.
Way grittier than Terminator 2.
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
You can tell the budget between the movies is astronomically different.
Sure.
Astronomical.
I mean, there's the feel of the movie. Like, watching it again now and kind of like, it's like, I could see where that could, like, be scary. Like,
mm-hmm.
and not just seem like, oh, this is a really cool, like, science fiction movie. I could see where people would be like, okay, this is, like,
it has
scary.
That, like, unstoppable killer thing
yep.
to it.
Yep, the unstoppable force. It's like the Michael Myers shape just continually come back
right,
again
right, right.
and again and again.
Although this one, that was never supernatural. It was, like, it was explained everything, which was kind of...
in extensive detail, everything is explained.
Yeah, quite a bit. You want to get started?
Yeah, sure thing.
The movie starts over an apocalyptic battlefield in the year 2029. Ten years from now.
Yeah. And there's an awesome shot. You see these tank treads and everything. You see
mm-hmm.
this pile of skulls. And then you see a robot foot just step down.
Boom.
And there's laser guns going off. And it pans up. and a rather muscular looking robot, which is pretty impressive to do with a skeletal design, is surveying the battlefield and shit's blowing up. And it's rare that is a very cool shot. That those practical shots still hold up. They look really cool.
There's quite a few in this movie, yeah. And since there was like a shoestring budget on a lot of this, so they did pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But yeah, you see tanks, all these like crazy robot things and hovercrafts and shit like that. There's a title card that says, "In the future, humans will wage a long war against an enemy known as the machines, but there will be a final battle that will not be fought in the future, but in the past."
Yeah.
Specifically, the present. Which is, of course, today, 1984.
Right.
Yeah, as we know it.
If that makes sense to everybody.
So then we now switch to Los Angeles, 1984.
Yeah, which is very 80s out, I'd say. It is.
This movie does not hide the fact that it's from the 80s. We start to see the big lightning ball thing happen right above a garbage truck, knocks out the
power.
What the?
That's one of my favorite parts of this movie is the old black guy with the giant stogie in his mouth. It's just
such a classic thing. Very classic 80s kind of guy.
Yeah, just that filler character, yeah.
The filler stunned black guy. And then the object appears. What is this big crazy object? And we see that it's
big naked guy.
Arnold.
Yeah. Bent over. Really cool pose.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one hand down on one knee, one leg up. And everything that the lightning ball was in contact with is now gone. It's burned off.
It's a really cool look to it, yeah. So then he starts walking.
He's at Griffith Park Observatory.
He sure is, yeah. The classic overlooking the city of Los Angeles. He starts walking, and he's spotted by these three young punks.
Yeah.
One of them is notable as Bill Paxton.
And indeed.
Short, a quick little role for him, but it was
really strange because that was about the time he was starting to get into stuff too.
Yeah.
So
shortly after this, he was in Aliens, James Cameron's film.
Magnum opus. I guess that would have been Titanic, huh?
He's had a few magnum opuses.
Yeah, about that.
He's had about five or six
now,
of them.
And then after that, he was in Predator. And in each of those films, he was killed by the titular character. Predator 2,
okay.
Excuse me.
Wow.
I scared you there for a minute.
Yeah.
But he's the only actor that's been killed by a Terminator, an alien, and a Predator.
Wow.
And also cancer, I think, was also killed.
And God, yeah. The four. It's like the EGOT, but of the...
Yeah, okay, so
And
Terminator
then,
comes across these punks.
And these punks who... Totally fine with a naked, strong guy walking up to them.
And they start poking fun. What is it?
They're teasing him. Yeah. Really?
No. Wash day tomorrow?
What?
What the hell's the line? Wash day tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
Yes, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're having a little too much fun with a naked bodybuilder approaching them. I would not be.
Yeah, I would be concerned.
I'd be like, this guy's, and he's with a stone face, not blinking. There's something up with this guy. I don't want to cross them.
Your clothes, give them to me.
Yeah. But they cross them.
One of them stabs him.
Yep.
And then he proceeds to just basically crush them all to death with his bare hands.
Yeah,
which is
he
cool.
Kills them. I believe Paxton survives. But one of the punks immediately takes off his jacket, offers his clothes to the Terminator, and that's that.
I will say, so we discussed Arnold's acting in the last movie as being like wooden.
Extremely wooden, yeah.
But in this, it's almost he acts well in this because he is wooden, but it's like there's a deliberateness to it,
right?
That actually like makes sense with the character. It's not just him doing his normal, because there is some nuance to it.
He apparently did a lot of work for this role. He studied a lot and he sort of prepared a lot. He watched several old movies of like guys being robots and shit like that. And he's like tried to
emulate that.
Yeah. And I mean, fucking work. There aren't too many actors who have embodied a role as much as he did with that one. So he really nailed it. And it was crazy how historically like important it's considered in film, considering it was just like, it could have been just like a shitty
it was like a B level. Yeah, right.
So anyway, we go on from that scene to a downtown alley. And this homeless man sees a bright circular light just above the ground.
Hey, buddy, did you just see a real bright light?
Yeah. I looked up that homeless guy, by the way, his acting reel. Yeah. He's been in 10 different movies.
All homeless?
All homeless guys, yeah. Talk about embodying a role. This guy's a fucking homeless guy.
That's cool.
I wonder if he's actually homeless and they just
keep bringing him in.
They always film in that area of L.A. and they just, yeah, there he is. But then, yeah, so we see another naked guy.
Yep.
Muscular, but much smaller.
Small, very small man.
Yep. Ride the same way. This is Kyle Reese.
Yes.
Michael Biehn, I believe, is the actor.
Yep. Another Aliens star.
He takes the homeless man's pants, of course.
He took my pants.
Yeah, and then he's traced on foot by a patrol officer.
That's right, yeah.
Who catches up to him, and Kyle asks, what year is it?
Yeah, what year is it?
Which kind of throws the police officer off a bit.
Yeah, not a great question to ask a police officer, in my opinion. And then he then runs off into a department store after that, after he puzzles the cop. He steals a bunch of stuff, most notably the Nike shoes that very unsubtly he puts on. And then he has the long trench coat and everything.
Yeah, very...
It's a classic look.
It's a very... Like that's like a Blade Runner look. Yeah. It's like... The modernness, but then it's like, you know, the gumshoe kind of look to it. Yep.
And there's like all this time the music's playing. It's very like, it's like Blade Runner.
Yeah, it's a little. Brad Fidel was the guy that did the music for this, and it's very synthesizer, but like orchestral kind of. Yeah. It's like strings, but a lot of high notes that sound like a slasher movie, really.
Right. So it's a sort of, they're doing that combo Vangelis slash. Slasher.
Like John Carpenter style. Right,
Elsewhere, we see a young woman.
Yes, we are introduced
to her.
Her
name is Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
Yeah.
Which, after seeing this, after seeing Terminator 2, it's a very off-putting to see this character introduced in the way she is.
Yeah, she's just a little lonely waitress.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, she's 18 in this movie. Which is crazy. I mean, she's like 26 or something.
Right,
in real
right.
Life,
but she's,
which means in Terminator 2, she's 29. That's fucking weird.
She was like, what, 40 something in that?
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. She did not look 29. I think we can.
She was in that crazy bin.
Yeah. Hey, sometimes it takes it out on you. But she's a, 18 years old waitress. She's sharing an apartment with her friend Ginger.
Like stereotypical 80s. Yeah.
Of course. This is having a boring life, but things are about to change for old Sarah Connor, I believe.
That's right.
So now we see the Terminator steal a car.
Yeah.
That's the next scene. Fun trivia. This was the very last thing shot for the movie, this scene with him stealing a car. It was added a few weeks before the film's release they filmed it. The scene was filmed in 2 hours by James Cameron and Arnold alone. Due to insufficient funds, Cameron had to pay for the scene himself and could not afford a police permit, so they almost got in trouble for filming the stolen car scene. So he steals a car and he goes to a local sporting goods store where he meets the owner, Dick Miller, character actor who just
terrific.
Died.
Terrific, yeah.
About a month ago, I think.
Terrific character actor.
This is a great scene. This is the scene that like stood with me as a kid because I thought like this is not the Terminator that I know from Terminator 2.
Right. Yeah, because there's kind of, so there's, these films really kind of run parallel in storyline if you think about it, because we're introduced to these characters, and like with Terminator 2, we talked about this a little bit at one point, but like if you don't know which guy's the bad guy, like that, like going into that would be like incredible to find out, like holy shit. And it's kind of the same way because they talk about somebody going back, right? And you're not really clear on who you should trust at this point, right?
Right.
Who's who. So this is kind of the scene that like sets it up, like maybe gives you an idea. So
then we see him. He's with the owner, Dick Miller. Dick Miller's showing him several guns. Here's all the stuff we got. You know, it's good inventory. He asks for a
plasma rifle.
Phase plasma rifle. Hey, only what you see, pal.
Right.
That's what the old Dick says. So then the owner tells him that. He can take the rifles right away, but the pistol has a waiting period. And as he explains the process, Arnold
starts
just
loading up a shotgun.
Yep. And just shoots him.
You can't do that, pal.
Yeah,
wrong.
Hey, you can't do that in here, pal. Wrong. Bam. Blows his fucking ass away. Just like that's you're like, oh, this is not a good guy.
No.
This guy's not a good fella. Fun trivia again, Arnold worked with guns every day for a month to prepare for this role. The first 2 weeks of filming, he practiced weapon stripping and reassembling blindfolded until the motions were automatic. Like a machine, he spent hours at the shooting range and practicing with different weapons without blinking or looking at them, without reloading or cocking. He also had to be ambidextrous. He wound up garnering a compliment in Soldier of Fortune magazine for his realistic handling of guns on camera. Good for him.
Soldier of Fortune
turned him into the Republican that he was later.
There you go, yep.
So then after that, I believe he gets the phone book out.
Yes. And we see
classic
him.
Classic scene.
Yep, he's in the phone booth. He's going down the list. And see his
doing
big,
the finger like
big,
an old
fat
man.
Finger. Yeah, and then he
wouldn't think a robot would need to do that.
And see him stop on the Sarah Connors, and there's like five or six Sarah Connors.
Right, so he's got to find the right
so he
one.
Rips the page out and mm-hmm. takes off.
They'll have the address next to him, as they did of back course, in those. Yeah.
Back before you had to find somebody's Facebook to figure out what they were up to.
So he goes to meet one of the Sarah Connors.
Yes.
Knocks on the door. She opens the door.
First, he runs over her kid's toys, which is just a great. When he pulls into park, there's like toys in the street, and he just runs it up, just crushes it like the
Did
camera.
You see what one of the toys was?
It was a tractor trailer truck.
It was a semi trailer.
Right.
And that's a little foreshadowing as he runs over a semi trailer. He opens the door, knocks, kicks it open because he says, "You know, are you Sarah Connor?"
She's like, "Yes."
Yes.
And then it's like a. That shot's weird because it's kind of in slow mo. It's mm-hmm. like it's out of time, so it's
yeah.
But Arnold's really good in that too because he's like looks pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's like, all right, I'm going to murder you. Like right. He looks like he's gonna kill that lady.
Yeah,
which is pretty good.
And she seems to take it in stride. Doesn't panic too much about.
Well, she starts.
Yeah, and then the gun to the head, and then
flash
and blammo.
Yeah, goes to the next scene.
She's dead as shit. And then the next scene is our Sarah. She's watching on news.
Yeah, there's a point where she pulls up to work and she's riding like an old ass scooter, and it just so again like drives home the point that this is the 80s, baby. But
80s
yeah,
is fucking fucked.
She's at her it's like a Haas's style restaurant.
Sure, yeah.
Where she's the
classic
waitress.
Diner.
Yep.
And they're watching on TV. One of the coworkers pulls her over.
You gotta see this.
And it's someone named Sarah Connor was just murdered. Which is just a big old goof to Sarah.
Also, they say that woman was like 32, the woman that plays Sarah. And she's like a character actor, too.
Mm-hmm.
She definitely does not look 32.
Mm-mm.
That's a rough goddamn
nope.
32.
Yeah, Sarah Connors have a rough life, apparently. So then that evening, it's Sarah back with her roommate, Ginger. They're both got separate dates they're planning on, it sounds like.
Yep.
Ginger's boyfriend is coming over to spend the night, of course. Sarah has a date, but then she gets a message from the answering machine. It cancels.
Right.
The voice of the answering machine was James Cameron.
Who would go on to be Linda Hamilton's husband.
That's right. So, in a way, it's foreshadowing him canceling their marriage sometime down the line. So, Sarah decides to go out for pizza, and then she sees another news report. The police say that another woman named Sarah Connor has been killed.
Right.
So now she's fucking freaking out
right.
a little bit. Then she sees that she's being followed. Then she ducks into a small dance club called Tech Noir, as we mentioned earlier, which is the genre that James Cameron was trying to make a thing with this type of movie.
And there's some really bad music playing. And have we been introduced to the police at this point, right? I think.
I don't know, have we?
I think so. I think there's some, well, it's fine because there's nothing really important going on with it. But, okay, so she gets into the club and
well,
she's still...
Well, she goes to cops to, like, say, don't they contact her about what's going on? Or does she contact them?
Which, they try to get a hold of her beforehand, but she's not home.
Right.
Yes, so while she's out at pizza, the cops are trying to call her and it's, what the hell? Lance Henderson is, like,
right.
the detective and then there's the... Black police chief, which I don't know. I don't know if he got his name. But anyway.
Staple.
Yeah.
Black police chief. Lance Henderson, who rumor was that he was supposed to be Terminator.
James Cameron thought he was very intense, but he wasn't. Didn't have the imposing.
Right.
There wouldn't be believable that you could fit that skeleton inside of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, almost had that, but we did not. Sadly. Anyway, so now she's in the club, and she tries to call Ginger at home. However. Ginger's with her boyfriend now, and they're just fucking.
Right.
So it can't hear the phone call. Unfortunately, it wasn't.
She's wearing headphones while they're having sex.
Interesting strategy. I have not explored that with my old lady yet. Probably not going to get around to it. So now that the Terminator gets over there,
yeah,
he found Sarah Connor's house, the real one, but she's not there. But he doesn't care. He just sees some people fucking.
Yeah, and he assumes that Ginger's Sarah Connor, right. So he kills her, and then or tries to kill her, and the boyfriend's like, "Hey," and then they get into a fight, and Arnold like throws him across the room.
Right.
Pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Isn't there an iguana?
Yeah, Pugsley the iguana.
Pugsley the iguana is featured in this scene, and others. One of those things you put in a script because you think you're a fun script writer guy.
Sure.
It just doesn't need to be that.
James Cameron with his little, it was probably his pet iguana or something.
Yeah, and that iguana was featured heavily in Avatar much later on, but much bigger and bluer, I believe, yeah, as people were writing it. So then Sarah then phones the police department when she can't get through.
Yeah, there's a thing where it's like, this is emergency, please stay on the line and we'll take your call. And it's like, is that how it used to work?
Yeah.
Like there wasn't a switchboard?
Before that, actually, it's important to say that after Arnold murders Ginger and the guy, Sarah left a voicemail.
Right.
A voicemail, an answering machine message.
Telling her,
hey, by the way, this is Sarah. I'm not the one that's at home right now. The Sarah Connor that you're looking for is at this club that I'm at right now. So if you need to find me, I'm right here.
Right.
Then she gets to the cops eventually, connected to Lieutenant Traxler, who's the detective investigating the Sarah Connor killings.
Right.
And he tells her to stay put until he can get a squad car to her, because she explained that there's someone following her and all that. Then the Terminator arrives at the club, dispatches the bouncer, and just works his way inside.
Yeah.
Pretty cool scene we have ahead of us here. At the same time, Reese, he enters the dance club as well.
Yes, and works his way up the other side of the dance floor. So you got Arnold walking through, towering all over all these people dancing. And Sarah's in the back at a table.
Just sitting there.
Kyle Reese is coming up the other side. We kind of get a couple glimpses of him. And then Arnold comes up and slow-mo pulls a gun out.
With a laser.
With a laser sight, and it comes right up to middle of Sarah Connor's head.
She's just looking at it.
Yeah,
kind
so
like,
weird.
Kind of like forgot deer that she's being pursued by crazy killer. And then
boom.
That's when Kyle unleashes the sawed-off from the trench coat.
Yeah, he has tied over his shoulder. Very cool.
It's a very cool look, and I remember my brother and I emulating that look when we would storm into our high school and cause a ruckus.
Okay, great.
No, it was a cool. The idea of a sawed off is like the coolest.
Just hide, yeah. Just
kid weapon, sawed off shotgun.
Absolutely, not. Yeah. Why not?
It's like, wow, you can just like customize a gun. You just cut it in half and you make it smaller and cooler. That's badass. This is the only scene in the entire movie where Bean and Arnold are on the screen together.
Yeah, I guess
just
that's true.
It. Just that one shot of him firing away at him, blows him away, and then. Kyle tells Sarah, come with me if you want to live.
Yep, one of our classic recurring themes.
And then, you know, she's very skeptical, but then she sees the Terminator just rise to his feet and is like, oh, okay.
And this is kind of where we actually get the, okay, now we know who's who's. So.
Sort of the perfect way to explain that. Then they escape through the back door of the club. Terminator's chasing them. You know, he's explaining that Terminator is a robot. And then we see...
A cybernetic organism.
Yeah.
Human skin over a metal endoskeleton.
The first time we see through the red vision eye thing.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah,
the
very
computer
cool.
Eye.
Yep.
Kyle blasts a gas tank of a car. Very 80s thing to do that.
Yes, and
I don't
explodes.
Think it's actually possible to do that. These Terminator's fine. Doesn't really give a shit about it.
Doesn't that burn his eyebrows off?
That is a good, weird fucking look, yeah.
Because that's the part where... Because you always think of the Terminator as like the flat top...
Yeah.
With the sunglasses. But for the first half of the movie, he's like, he's got his hair parted.
He's got a very 70s.
Yeah, like a surfer look almost.
Mop look to him, yeah.
And then he drives through, and then he's like almost, I don't want to say disfigured, but he's like, no eyebrows. Eyebrows are gone. So it's a very intense look. And then his hair is burnt short, which is great. So
yeah, and he gets more of that classic robotic Arnold look to him. Big scene explains during the chase after... Leaves, you know, all that stuff behind. He explains that who he is. Says Sarah's been targeted for termination and that the killer chasing him is not a man, but a machine called the Terminator. Mm-hmm. Metallic combat chase is covered with living human issue to make it appear human. Known as Cyberdyne Model 101 Infiltrator Unit Type 800 Series.
So there's the 101 sequels. And the 800.
Right. But this is not actually said at all. T-800 is never said in this movie at all.
It's not till the next one?
It's okay. Not till explained till the sequels.
Because the way I understand it, the T1 or the 101 is the base model, and then the 800 is the skin over top of it. Great. So there's different versions of the skin. So go on.
So they hide out in this parking garage after this. Reese explains that Sarah's destined to give birth to humans' future leader, John Connor.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that a nuclear war will be initiated by a new powerful computer system known as Skynet, and that this is going to be tasked with controlling all defense systems. Right.
And that it eventually, instead of just targeting evildoers, what have you, finds all of humanity, mm-hmm. should be eradicated, and turns its weapons onto
us. It'll be on the verge of extinction when John is able to organize the remaining humans into an effective resistant movement. By the time Reese will be sent back to the present day by Connor himself, had actually defeated Skynet.
Right.
In desperation, Skynet sent the Terminator to the present day to murder Sarah and eliminate John Connor's existence. Pretty dumb idea, really. Just the more you think about it, the stupider it gets. It's good movie time travel logic.
Oh, sure, yeah. But
really just doesn't actually make a whole lick of sense.
Well, yeah, but I think it's also, it's what we've talked about in the past, too, where it's like, you don't have to have all that interpolation or, you know, mm-hmm. there's not this huge setup for you for it to be like, oh, okay, it's just like,
oh, yeah,
here's how it works.
You just gotta say...
And like... Yeah. Did she even ask, like, well, why didn't you bring any guns back? And it's like, nothing, only organic can go through the time stream.
Sure, yeah.
So it's just like, okay, well, how's the Terminator? Well, that's why he's covering the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So right. It's just like, all right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you buy it in the movie. If you know, when you're watching and it's done well, you don't care too much. But right. Yeah, that's sort of the problem with, and we talked about this, when the sequels just try to explain things too much. And yeah, it's like,
why even bother?
Man. Like, the more you explain the Terminator, the worse it gets. So now we're going to have our, fifth Terminator movie coming up? Sixth moon this year?
Sixth.
It's only going to be worse. The story's just going to be more absurd.
Yeah.
More obscene. So if it was all just contained in that first two, I guess. But
yeah, I mean, the second one on its own is a good movie.
Of course.
But it's just like, I mean, the original idea was that would... The Terminator was supposed to be like a shapeshifter, but
yeah,
the first movie came out, obviously they couldn't do that
technology wise.
So then it was like, well, I still want to do that, so why not do another movie?
So then they're in the garage, and then Reese steals another car, and the Terminator finds him there, and then mm-hmm. the chase resumes. He manages to get a few shots on him with the shotgun while Sarah's driving, and Sarah stops the car, and the Terminator crashes into a wall.
Yeah, this is a really... Very, very dummy shot of a...
Yeah, pretty bad.
But again, it was a cut-rate film for what it was, you know.
And then they're arrested.
Yes, and brought to the station.
Yeah, and they see while they're being arrested, the Terminator has escaped.
Yes.
So now we're at the police station.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah is told that Ginger is dead and that Reese has been given to a criminal psychiatrist, Dr. Peter Silberman... The great guy who's in Terminator 2 and 3.
He is, yeah, you're right. Yep.
This fucking guy. So his story about the Terminator is treated as the babbling of extreme delusion, just, of course, as you can imagine.
Some good acting in that scene, though.
Yeah. He does pretty good in that interrogation room. So the doctor's watching it, and he's like, you know, watching the tape as it's going on. He's just like, this is my career.
Right? Yeah, I can make a career out of this guy.
Yeah, it's just absurd.
Which, again, is kind of a foreshadowing because he ends up making a career out of Sarah Connor instead. But.
And the doctor actually asked why he didn't bring back weapons, and then
right.
You know, he says it can only be organic material, which of course the doctor's, oh, yeah, all right, just like completely blowing him off. He becomes agitated, he starts screaming that the Terminator must be destroyed or will not stop until it kills Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
So now we see the Terminator cut to him in the hotel room. His face is all damaged, and this is, we see some good puppet work here.
Yes.
Well, we see puppet work.
I wouldn't say good.
At the time, probably pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about that too, is like, back when everything was practical, I mean, this probably looked
insane. So it's like, his head is at the mirror. I mean, it's a robot, so it is but very it is robotic.
Very robotic. I think that's very there's robotic. No fluidity to it whatsoever.
Very robotic motions, and like Arnold's actual hands are like underneath it working on it. Mm-hmm. So you have real hands making real movements on a obviously very robotic head.
Yes, yeah.
Doesn't help.
So he's removing his eye. It's been damaged.
Yeah.
And we see behind his eye, the organic eye, a red sensor.
And then he covers it with sunglasses.
Gargoyle sunglasses. Very cool.
Very cool sunglasses.
And
the
we get the classic, the more classic looking Terminator this way.
Puts on different clothes. He's got a pump action shotgun and an AR-15 automatic rifle.
Mm-hmm.
So he arrives at the police station.
I'm a friend of Sarah Connor.
Yeah, he arrives. He's there and he's asking the front desk.
So we cut to that scene and Silverman's walking out.
Mm-hmm.
And as he's walking out, Arnold's coming up to the door.
Yes.
And they're about to cross paths and the doctor gets a beeper and he turns around, and as he turns, Arnold, so it's like this whole like, oh,
could have stopped something but didn't. Yeah. So then the guy at the front desk says, I'm not gonna let you in.
Mm-hmm.
Even though he says he's a friend of Sarah Connor. Terminator looks at the looks around, sort of takes a gander at what's going on in the building, and he just leans in and says, I'll be back.
Yeah. Probably the most famous Arnold Schwarzenegger line.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, originally in the script, it was, I'll come back.
I think I'll be back is much better.
It's just simpler. I'll come back sounds more, I'll come back.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you.
Mm-hmm. So he goes outside.
And, like 5 seconds later.
Loud crash as the car slams into the front door, into the desk. And then he just stomps out of the car.
Just slaughtering everyone in the...
Yep. Ruthlessly shooting every fucking officer he stumbles upon. It is just mayhem in there. He gets to a circuit panel and rips out the main circuit cable, shoves the live wire into a fuse box, creates an electrical surge that blows out all the lights in the building. Now it's completely pitch dark. He's got
his vision.
Cops are just coming out and he's just blowing them away. And so while all this, you know, Sarah is hiding, trying to get out of there. Reese, we don't know what the hell's going on with Reese. Traxler is killed.
We just realized we missed a part, too.
Oh, yeah?
When he's doing the eyeball thing, and the janitor comes up and knocks it. Hey,
oh, yeah.
Buddy, you got a dead cat in there? And then it shows, like, he has prompts in his
vision. Yeah.
And he's like, it's like, screw you, whatever.
Right.
And then he chooses one's like, fuck you, asshole. So it's like, he's programmed with, like, all these different insults, and he's like, oh, here's a good one. Fuck you, asshole.
It just takes a while to get to it. Can you imagine a guy just, like, on the street, fuck you, asshole.
You hear the hard drive noise.
You hear the actual gears whirring as he comes up with, fuck you, asshole.
Very cool. All right, so sorry, go on back to your way.
Yeah, he, you know, tracks through the cop he's killed by Arnold.
Yeah, it seems really weird because these cops are given like all like kind of build up to be like, okay, you know,
yeah,
you think they're gonna be the guys that like do something about it, and then they just get murked with everybody else, all 70 other cops in this station, because they're just running from everywhere and people are like getting shot and flying over desks and stuff.
It really is like a first person shooter or something where they're just coming out and they're just getting fucking blown away. It's something like they said 30, I think, were
killed. Is that it?
Killed, yeah. So eventually, you know, Sarah's hiding in this office. The door's locked. She can't see the door. Then the door breaks, opens up. It's Kyle.
Sure.
Kyle Founders. And then they escape. They get out of there somehow. And then they hide in this sewer tunnel. And that's when Sarah realizes that everything
is real.
It's completely true, completely real, completely fucked up. And so, you know, they have more talk here. He tells her more about the future.
Yeah, this is a really weird scene.
Skynet's vehicles, hunter killers, would use infrared technology to find and kill humans. Kyle mentions that John Connor's talent for strategy helped the resistance to defeat them. The new Terminators, infiltrators like the one he and Sarah are on the run from, appeared and began to find hidden bunkers where humans hid out. And then this is when Sarah lapses into a sleep. She has this like sort of weird nightmare thing where she's in the future, and Terminators, they broke into the sanctuary for humans.
And this is a different Terminator. This is not an Arnold Terminator. This is right. Franco Colombo. This is Arnold's buddy.
Yep, another
bodybuilder.
Mr. Olympia title winner guy. Just another big, strong, ugly guy. Who I remember as a kid when I saw that scene, I was like, the potential for like, there's a lot of potential there for like, oh, there's all sorts of other big giant Terminator guys.
Right, so that's where they have like
movies
the,
about or something. You know,
the 800 series comes from. They all look like Arnold, right? Mm-hmm. So this is like a different, this is the 700 or whatever.
Right.
So yeah, it's never really explored upon outside of that one scene.
It's also a dream, so is it real? Mm. Really odd, so it's like, I mean, she has a...
Yeah, it's very strange that like I would have felt better if this would have been like Kyle's dream rather than her vision.
Yeah, because who knows how accurate it is.
Doesn't he also tell her about, like, he always saw a picture of, or that John carried a picture of her?
Right.
That's, like, bizarre, too.
Yeah, it's very, very sappy stuff. You know, when they have some of these more sappy moments, it's pretty cheesy in the movie, but...
But it is kind of that time frame as far as
right.
stuff. So.
So, meanwhile, the Terminator is, he's back to the hotel, He has an address book that he got from Sarah's apartment. So he's looking up names, and he found Sarah's mom who lives upstate. Leaves the room and gets on a stolen motorcycle and takes off for the road. He's got to go up to upstate. San Francisco area? I don't know.
I guess so.
So later, this scene, when we get to the scene where Kyle is needs to purchase chemicals to make explosives.
Yeah, it's like moth. Or where she's, what do you... Yeah, okay, so they need mothballs and, like, Drano and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, they're in the motel now. Sarah showers, phones her mom, tells her the phone number where she is, unaware that Terminator's on the other line and is just mimicking Sarah's mom.
Who he has already killed.
Yeah, so we see...
Again, she's just really...
Yeah, we don't actually see the mom, but we see that the cabin that she was living in, the door is knocked down with a huge shotgun hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
That, so it shows that, you know, he got his way in there and probably murdered her. Then he calls the motel using his real voice and asks the desk clerk to give him the motel's address. So I don't know why he couldn't mimic
somebody else's voice.
Why does he have to be his own voice, which is, again, not a great not a great voice for sounding human. Yeah. So now we're back in the motel, and Sarah and Kyle are making a stockpile of pipe bombs filled with plastique. Very, this is another thing, like, as a kid, I remember, like, just thinking it looked cool to make bombs.
Because they're just,
they're fun. They're, like, cool pipes and everything. Yeah. A little the wick that, you know, doing that thing with the fingers, making it straight. Doing it, you know, just doing that, you know. It looked just so satisfying to make pipe bombs as a kid.
God damn.
Man, I'd love to make pipe bombs with a sawed-off shotgun in them. Kyle mentions that he has a photo of Sarah, and he's fallen in love with her. We're, what, 2 days into this thing?
Really weird. There's also a kind of thing where it's like, she asks about, like, who's John's father? And Kyle's like, oh, we don't know. Which is just, like, so fucking
Then they
stupid.
Immediately have sex. Just right away. A scene that I beat off to a lot as a kid, by the way. Like, actual tits were in that. Oh, so good.
Okay.
Yeah, so this of course is he blew a load inside of her, and that's where John Connor's living right now.
Yeah,
he just shot it all up in those guts.
So, which actually is a kind of a paradox, because if he would have gotten killed,
yeah,
John Connor never would have.
Sure.
So why send back the guy that's? Oh, I guess because she has to get there. Really is no way around sending him there, because he's got to throw one in her. So
yeah. So anyway, Terminator tracks him to the motel later that night.
Dog starts barking.
Yeah, they flee out in a stolen pickup trucks after the dog starts barking.
And the Terminator's on a really shitty-looking motorcycle.
They're racing down the highway. He tries to destroy the Terminator with pipe bombs that he and Sarah made, but he is hit by gunfire, so he's hurt. He's wounded.
Yep.
Sarah manages to knock him off the motorcycle, and then her truck flips over. It's fucking crazy the way the truck flips over.
Oh, the multiple rolls and everything.
Yeah,
yeah, It looks like they wouldn't have survived it. It looks like.
Well, I think it was an actual model that they did too, and it just looks so. It doesn't look quite as real as it should.
So the Terminator's like limping along, coming again, right?
Yeah, he's recovered, but then he's immediately struck by a semi-trailer.
Yeah, so he gets up, he starts kind of limping, and then he's just run over, and then there's a shot
dragged for a while.
Yeah, there's a shot of the of the dummy that they use, like, bounce around underneath the truck, which is very, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then the truck driver stops, and he has somebody in the cab with him, which is really weird. Mm-hmm. He's like, hold on, stay here.
And then Terminator kills him, of course, and takes control of the
cuts
truck.
Cuts up into the truck, get out, which is another recurring
line. Yeah, a scene just like in Terminator 2 when the
T-1000 gets in the helicopter.
Steals the truck as well.
No, it's a helicopter, isn't it?
Steals a truck, steals a helicopter. There's several vehicle stealings from...
but I think he says get out to the helicopter. But anyway.
Yes. So now we're near a factory, just like in Terminator 2.
Yes. Again, a linear...
Mm-hmm. Kyle uses a pipe bomb. He's like in rough shape at this point.
Yeah, he's bleeding all over the place. Looks like shit. Yeah.
He takes a pipe bomb and makes the truck, Arnold Soul, explode. And we think that's the end of it.
That's the end of it, sure.
Kyle and Sarah embracing, and then really badass scene happens right here.
The puppet work in this is awesome. The full size, yeah. So
the good music, like the very, that shit happens. The fire's going, and then we just see him fucking emerge from it. Just the endoskeleton. And here's some fun trivia. Although T-800 is referred to as a cyborg throughout the franchise, this label is technically incorrect. A true cyborg cannot survive without its organic components. The end sequence of this film establishes that the T-800 can continue without them. T-800 is, therefore, not a cyborg.
It's a robot, right?
So, what's an android is the correct term. Okay. So, some real dumb nerd shit there, as someone got upset that he was being referred to as a cyborg in the movie.
So, you get this great full-scale model done by Stan Winston Studios.
Out of metal.
Yeah.
Like actual real big heavy fucking thing.
It's aluminum, right?
Yeah.
I think it was, yeah.
And they said it was like very hard to handle on set.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So then they retreat into the factory.
And the Terminator is damaged because he's like dragging one foot.
And you see like a big chunk of his like ankle is missing.
Right.
Looks like his like Achilles was blown out, but he's a robot. So, it looks pretty neat.
But it's that unstoppable force. So he's coming after.
They are cornered. Reese does his last bomb, shoves it in the endoskeleton, into this like little rib cage, as it were. Yeah, and that explodes, pieces everywhere. Sarah gets hurt; her leg gets a big,
she got a big piece of shrapnel in it. Yeah,
and then she finds Kyle.
He's dead.
Turns him over, and he's dead.
He dead.
He's dead as fuck.
And she starts mourning him. The endoskeleton kind of starts moving around here, and here we get the upper half of the robot is still operational
and just attacks her. So she crawls away. She still can't run yet. And then she lures the Terminator into this big hydraulic press, which thankfully there's one of those there at the factory.
Why wouldn't there be?
Wide open for you. Guy's in there reaching out to her.
This part, I really wish they wouldn't have put this in, but...
Why?
It takes away from, for me personally, I feel like it takes away from the scene.
Well, what happens?
She presses the button for the press, and as she pushes it, she says, "You're terminated, fucker."
Yeah, she does.
It's got to guess. Got to slip that in there, I guess.
Crushes him.
Yeah.
Crushes the fuck out of him. We see the eye fade out.
Yeah.
Red eye
fade.
All
this arcing light. James Cameron is arcing lightning shit he loves so much.
Yeah.
It's in every fucking movie.
Absolutely. And we see the hand extended, which will then be used in Terminator 2 as a big plot point.
Piece. Mm-hmm.
But that's the death of the Terminator.
Yep. And then we cut to...
We have our epilogue, yeah. Well, after like she goes to the ambulance, then we see Kyle loaded into a body bag, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But later, months later... She's just driving a Jeep in the desert.
Jeep Renegade. Pretty cool.
There's a large dog in the passenger seat. Seen to be going towards Mexico. Stops at a gas station.
40 cents a liter.
Oof. Not bad. She is quite pregnant at this point.
Mm-hmm. She's wearing like a denim dress, which is cool.
She's recording herself talking, making notes for her son.
Yeah.
One of the questions she poses is whether or not she should tell John about Reese being his father and if that'll affect his decision to send the warrior back in time to meet and save Sarah.
Sure, right. Again, there's the paradox of that he doesn't come back, then...
Like, he should know, right? Because what if he doesn't? But then he's going... All right. So, Jeep's tank's filled. A young boy comes up to her and takes her picture with a Polaroid.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it's the same Polaroid that John will give Reese in the future.
Sure.
boy says something in Spanish in the gas station or tells her, and he said, a storm's coming. Sarah sees the storm approaching and says, I know. And she drives off into an unknown future.
Yeah. The last shot, it's like a faked up storm. Mm-hmm. Looks like, doesn't look great. But it works. I mean, overall, the movie works. I think it could have worked on its own.
It would have been great if it was just a standalone, but...
Open-ended, yeah. I mean, still, the second one still works. They work on their own.
They do, yeah. Yeah, I mean, as we talked about, Terminator 2, you know, that was a movie I saw 1,000 times before I saw Terminator 1. Wasn't even a thing. And that movie came out, I guess, 8 years after the original, which is funny. It seemed like... That's a pretty long time between sequels.
Yeah, but... But that used to be the standard. I mean, for some stuff at least.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the original Star Wars. That was like 6 or 7 years between each one.
Mm-hmm.
What was first one? 75.
First one's 77. Next one 80, and then 83. They were three years apart each.
Okay, so that's
three is. I mean, I think that was pretty normal. Eight was more. Well, it's also they're just because they're so different.
They're very tonally different. They
look totally different too. They like.
The way they're shot is completely different.
Terminator 2 is just like so blue and just like sharp and like there's like silver. It just feels more cool. Doesn't have that tech noir thing at all.
No, not at all. Close. It's a completely different. And it's in the. Because like with the first Terminator, you get like this kind of blocky. Like he's wearing like the first outfit. It's like definitely like a Blade Runner thing. And then his second outfit, it's like this like. I don't know if you want to call it like assassin, like with the leather and the glasses. And then the second one, it's like he's a motorcycle guy. So it's like a completely, like he's on a Harley
they
versus.
They played Bad to the Bone in that fucking movie too.
They do. So it's like this whole completely different like take on the character where it's like, and Arnold plays that character different. He plays the second Terminator different too.
Yeah. I mean, he has to. He's got a lot more lines. He only had 17 lines in the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
The whole movie only said 17 things. So, second one said a lot more than that.
Sure did.
Because he was an actual, like, giant movie star at that point. So, he was expected to say a lot more at that point.
Although, the one longest part was cut when he's getting his head worked on there. That was, like, his longest monologue.
That was a cool scene that...
There's another puppet head.
Done very well. But I don't know why they removed it. Well, we'll never know. Because this is the last episode of Cast Action Hero. We'll never talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger ever again.
Well, I can't make a promise.
And we probably will several times. But so yeah, anyway, let's talk real quick about future Patreon. It's going to be much more casual, much more simplified, much easier for us to do.
And also, I think it's going to be more of what the show we originally thought would be like. So it's more of us just catching up on the week. Stuff that happened online during the week, you know, stuff that happened with us during the week, whatever. So
yeah, there's so much dumb shit on the internet that we don't talk about because it doesn't thematically fit. You know, I think we try to do it sometimes with this ain't it, Chief, just to sort of throw in something.
Like, but when there's a lot of stuff going on, it's just you can't get to it all. And some of it isn't even like bad. It's just like, why is this happening?
Right? Yeah, so. Yeah. We could talk about the Mueller report a lot. You know. I know we're both really excited to do that, so...
Boy.
But yeah, so we'll still do stuff like this. We plan to have some of the shows that we did, you know, sort of come back in some form during...
Yeah, maybe every once in a while sprinkle one in, whatever we feel like doing.
There is a new Terminator movie coming out this year in a couple months, which is insane to think about, but I'm sure Christian and I will be there. Probably be the only ones in the theater.
Again.
We saw Terminator 2 in the theaters. We're the only guys in there.
Cool.
2 years ago or something like that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. So you know, we'll see that movie. We'll talk about it. Other things like that. We'll stick around. You know, there's plenty of crackpots.
Yep.
Plenty of dumb conspiracy theories to talk about. Yep. All that shit.
Yep.
But in the meantime, that's it for the Banal Probe and Crackpot Spotlight and Blotto Blather and Cast Action Hero. We're out of here. I'm Geiger. That's Christian.
Bye-bye.
Bye.